Bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us. As they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table, the story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Thank you very much for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. This is the commentary episode of the last three episodes that we recorded. My name is Jordan. I am the GM and bringer of all-around terror.
I am Carl, and I play Dran, currently confused Renner.
I am Stephanie. I play Dr. Miranda, just barely holding it together, Kristoff.
I'm Johnny, playing Professor, I'm going to kill those bees.
Thank you.
I am Jeremy, playing Captain Orion James.
I'm Jeff. I'm playing Sergeant Willis Masters, who is now a tree.
I kind of imagine Willis Masters as having been reimagined as Lou Ferrigno.
You're Sergeant Mossbeard Masters.
Mossbeard Masters.
I'm sure that beard is not within.
I look like the swamp creature from Avatar The Last Airbender.
You wouldn't like him when he's photosynthesized.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I just have one thing to say about this whole thing is I feel like we're in a Disney movie here. We have hugs from Woody and Buzz.
That's about right. Yes, sir.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Oh, you get it. Write down another character point or hero point for that.
They're just
Woody and Buzz.
Hero point or character point? Hero point.
It is a very hospitable planet filled up with hugs.
Yeah. Considering this is like thousands of years in the future, it's Toy Story 400.
So
in space!
No, there's no bees in space.
Yeah, there are no
bees. There are no bees in space.
We learned that.
Yeah.
So what do you guys, how'd you guys enjoy the last three episodes?
Oh my word.
Good times. Yeah.
Jordan.
Oh. So I always enjoy getting more pieces of horror because me being into horror cinema and culture, I think it's really awesome. So
I need to find some insect-based horror movies to watch.
Insectoid?
Well, Killer there's bee. Always insects. Mimic.
Yeah.
Is a typical one.
Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia, yes. That's an amazing one. John Goodman is so good at it.
He really is.
I'm junk.
If that's on Netflix, then we might be able to review that for our new podcast, Carlin.
Spiders is on there.
Yeah, our new podcast, Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night.
So,
Candyman.
Okay.
Yeah, that's bees.
All I can think about right now is in Arachnophobia when John Goodman kills a few of the spiders originally, and he's walking away, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm bad." So what?
So you guys think you'll have a moment like that next time a replay?
No.
Yes, I do think I will have a moment like that.
You are John Goodman. Your
Johnny is
trying to zap those bees.
I hope so.
You'll be my hero.
It's turning into Scotty over here.
Oh my gosh.
8 hours. I'll get it done in five.
So what do you guys... what I had planned today was pretty straightforward. I knew that Jeff was going to be coming out of the tree.
Coming out of the tree.
Coming out, yes. And I knew that, you know, of course, Orion was going to have some issues going on with Aurora. And I had planned that Miranda was going to be taken by the True Hive and coerced into looking into medical treatments for them. So that's pretty much all I had planned. But I felt like it was really effectively done with the cuts between all of the different things that were going on. What'd you guys think of that, like, storytelling technique?
I liked it. It kept the story running a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and there were a lot less drag moments of, so what's going on now?
Yeah, with the previous cliffhanger where everybody was separated, well, especially when Masters and Orion got taken, that was the big mystery. Like, how is this going to work now, having to do two different locations? And I didn't realize it until, like, the end of the last recording session. Oh, yeah, we've been doing three different locations. So I think it worked very well. It wasn't, like...
It was pretty seamless.
Yeah. I try to put it together in my mind like a TV show. So, like, when you get to that dramatic moment, time to cut to somebody else.
Yeah. And, well, and now we're going to consolidate back down to two.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah. I kind of feel like we're moving into something like a season finale type of situation. Yeah.
The big war between the bees and the jaguars are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the war.
That's right.
Which side are you going to be on, Miranda? Jeez. Traitor. Should have listened to Dran.
You can't hear it. I'm rolling my eyes right now. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
She's got that code of honor. Can't leave people
to die.
Not just
going to kill them.
Jeez. Code of honor gets in the way too much.
How did you feel about that? Like, having somebody literally asking you to kill them.
I didn't see her doing that. I mean, Wendy wanted to kill herself, and she was willing to put herself in danger to prevent it. So, I mean, she's got her personal code, which is her Hippocratic Oath. She will avoid killing them until it is, like, the only option remaining. And right now, she's still in this place where she probably foolishly thinks she can reason with these bee people, so, as she was, you know, attempting.
Yeah.
To do with McKinley. Oh, my gosh. Crazy Eyes McKinley.
That was freaky, man.
That was so freaky. Oh, and Johnny, you were not allowed to sit next to me when we are doing these scenes.
Were you actually tickling, like, you were tickling her?
Yes.
Oh.
Anytime Bea was crawling on her, I'd reach over and start tickling back for you.
Johnny got a few bruises.
Jeff.
I'm a tree now.
How do you feel about being a tree?
I don't know. Like,
some ways it's awesome.
In some ways, I'm like, this could be really awesome as the character. I'm like, this could be really awesome, which is why he didn't just step out and start shooting down the tree. But at the same time, he's like, I was stuck in a tree for 24 hours. That sucked.
How are you going to break that to your folks when you call?
That's Mom, a good Dad, question.
That's kind of the last I'm of a tree right now. I feel like this opens up so many more possibilities for your character.
So guess what? Definitely.
Like, you went from being a red shirt to now being, like, the green wizard.
Yeah.
Like,
a green shirt. Oh,
Captain Planet.
But no, like, you just, you went from being just one of the grunts to suddenly being, like, the party wizard. Like, you're the one with the special skills that none of the rest of us can do.
Which was a good thing that came out of that, especially... You reported to Captain James, like, there are these people that are in this location that need our help. Captain James is sort of like, how did you know that?
And that's what I was banking on when I started giving him those hints and everything, was that he would actually go to Captain James, like, right away.
So I think in the future that's something that Captain James is going to rely on your character.
Espionage.
A whole lot more for intel.
Yeah.
I said the intelligence officer got a,
the new intelligence
beified.
It's going to be you against McKinley.
I think it's...
Oh, man.
You versus McKinley.
Yeah.
It is going to be me versus McKinley.
I think it's important. It's important to point out that the first thing Willis did after acquiring new powers was grow a beard. That's what he used his powers for. These powers are pretty sweet. I want to grow a beard.
Well, I don't think, except for Jeremy, I think all of us have facial hair, so.
And Stephanie.
Well, that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan.
Females Woo! Excluded.
Insert foot.
Would you like me to do it for you?
No.
See, Miranda and Stephanie are almost one and the same.
Anyway.
So Stephanie could probably get a foot that high.
Yeah.
Dran, Carlin, how did you feel about like Dran's role? Like we were talking, and you mentioned that you had wanted to go help Miranda, which was an interesting decision on your part.
Yeah, and that was really only because I started thinking, before we were recording, I started really thinking about, well, Dran kind of doesn't care about stuff, and he doesn't want to get infected, and he doesn't want other people to get infected, but the issue is also that Miranda's definitely very important to the mission, and all the medical people they can have is important, so that's kind of why he decided to go. But couldn't help out. So he was just like, oh, screw it. Because from what he could see, he was just assuming that she was already stung, so it's over. So he's like...
Oh, so was I.
I tried. Go on.
I'm dead.
So he tried. He tried to be a good person, kind of.
I liked your idea, Johnny, for the web. The electrical...
Science? Science, indeed.
Yeah, that was a really cool aspect. Because I was like thinking, well, what kind of insecticide is he going to come up with as a chemist?
Well, honestly, the reason I have this idea is because our daughter has been playing with one of those little badminton bug zapper things a lot. So I keep seeing this bug zapper.
There's no batteries in it. Yeah. She's just using it as like a tennis racket.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just bug zapper on the side. So
I'm like thinking in my head, like... Well, if it works in real life to just zap bugs, why can't we do that to these bees? So.
Well, and it's an interesting idea that you can actually wrap it around the host and then zap the bees off of the host. And then you might be able to save their lives as well. Yeah. So.
Well, and theoretically, the actual bees can withstand less than the host can.
Yeah.
Which I like the idea that you came up with as well of setting... phasers to stun kind of thing rather than just kill, because that's what in the last battle that's sort of what we ran into. It's like, well, Orbital's in there, we don't want to shoot him, but there's bees and we need to shoot them. So it's like,
that's why I had the first sergeant charge and try to body knock him out.
That was one of the most interesting things about using like the insects as like a villain type of thing, was because they just swarm. So what are you going to do against this swarm? It's kind of like the idea that has been brought about like with movies like World War Z, you know, with the hordes of zombies just running over everything and all that. But of course we said no zombies. So
now you wish you had them, don't you?
No.
I think these bees are far more creative.
They're much scarier too.
McKinley is pretty much a zombie at this point.
Sort of.
He's undead.
He's possessed.
He's possessed with bees.
Gosh, that... Oh.
He's the bees ambassador.
Nightmares, Jordan.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. That's what I took it as.
Yeah, the bee ambassador.
The bee ambassador.
Mm-hmm. So Jeff's the tree ambassador, and McKinley's the bee ambassador. And I still think that Aurora James needs to have a tail.
Need to slap Wendy as soon as we get some girl time.
Why?
Well, I was never really with you.
Then why'd you go after her, try and save her if you don't like her?
I was thinking of her not being with you in a romantic sense.
That's what she said. I missed Dran right after that.
Yeah, no, I'm like...
She has outlived her use.
For hotness?
Yeah.
Her hotness is gone.
Yeah.
She's gone.
She's infected, too, so it's like, you know?
I don't know who you are anymore.
Carlin, you're a bad
It's like everything that Dran hates.
All rolled into one.
Like homeliness and infection.
So you got to ride a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
This time without being held in the claws.
With no tractor beams.
That's an interesting dynamic. There's an interesting triangle between you, Captain James, Aurora, and Burned Tail that's developing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is our love triangle?
Yeah, well, Burned Tail has a crush on you.
I kind of got that from that last comment. That
you'll know if you'll know if she truly likes you if she starts purring.
Oh.
And no. When you made that rubbing. The last comment was, oh, there's always room. I was like, that would freak Orion James out a little bit But his options are Burntail or Aurora. He gets on with Burntail. I was toying with the ideas. Okay, either get on with Burntail or get on with Aurora and then say something like take a jab at her. And I just couldn't think of anything. So I was like, yeah, let's go with Burntail.
And that would be a good way to get knocked off of a flying pterodactyl, too, if you...
Not if I was playing her.
Huh?
You and I play are different.
Yeah, it's
mostly because I'm focusing on the fact that pretty much everybody that she was in charge of died. So
did they?
That's what you said.
According to what she said, yeah, like in her perception, she said
they're all dead.
They're all dead.
And, that's what she told me.
And Orion rubbed that in her face.
Yeah.
As soon as he found out.
So we're not playing cute here, like.
Yeah.
No.
Who's in the cave then?
Well, but
she doesn't know that, yeah. Though.
She said told Orion that they were all dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing that I did like is you sort of, with the conversation with Burntail and sort of some of the stuff with Aurora, it's forcing more of the backstory out of...
Like,
well, we know that there was a situation and orders were miscommunicated and something happened and Orion got the short end of the stick. Now we're sort of start to see a little bit more details of what actually went down.
And I like that it's been vague up to this point.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
That's why when I was trying to think of ways to explain it is to not just come out and fully explain what happened, just to give little hints here and there.
And I think that worked well because of the culture knowledge gap, because there is no way that Burntail is going to be able to understand the complex social societies of the Lunar Alliance.
Right,
especially like military.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, if you in a tribal situation, if the chief says hit that rock, then you go over and you hit that rock, you know. But in a military, don't.
Your throat is ripped out and you're eaten by your friends.
I do like that little off the wall statement though. Saying, "Oh, that happened once. We had to rip her throat out. She tasted good." It's like, all right.
So this is how things work around here, huh?
Well, I really...
And then the question is, did Orion like that? Would you prefer that?
In my mind, the first thought was for him to say, that would have been so much simpler.
Oh, man, I wish you had said that.
But that was I thought that was still a little too harsh for
maybe.
His character, so...
Yeah, he's more under control than that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
When he's not face-to-face with them.
Yeah. 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 Aurora seems to bring out the worst in you.
Yep. That's why I like playing her.
We can tell.
I like it. I like the high-tension interpersonal scenes.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Well, and it felt like today... that the tension was pretty much high all the way through. You know, it started off, you know, with Miranda being running through the woods after Wendy, and then we've got Carlin taking Dran and going after her, and this is all real high tense stuff, you know, and then
staying following behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's, you know, this is the first time we've seen tension between Edric Farthing's in Dran also.
Yeah.
Which it was interesting to see, because another thing I liked about the way, Carlin, you played that, because you had built such a rapport with Farthing's, you were not willing to sort of destroy some of that, even when he came up in opposition to what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, part of the motivation behind that is the fact that he wants to keep him, like, on his side, and he doesn't view him as a threat.
Right.
Is the other thing. So this is kind of just a situation where he recognizes he feels like he really has to do something, so he doesn't agree with it, but it's not worth doing anything crazy to this person because they're no threat to him and they're actually on his side, so...
Well, I mean, at the same time, I wouldn't see how, from the outside, how Dran would have perceived Miranda as a threat. But at the same time, when she was willing to give some opposition to you, you just wanted to shut it down right then and there rather than listen. Mm-hmm. So because you hadn't built a rapport with her, I mean, it started off with, you trying to make a move and she pretty much shut you down.
So it's like spurned.
Yeah. So, but where you started off in good with Farthings, okay, I'm going to let this play out and see how it's going to go a little bit more.
Yeah. He's willing in those situations to be more lenient.
Although I was totally like sitting right up next to you, like a little devil on your shoulder. I'm like, he's a coward. Threaten him. Go crazy.
I think at that point, that was Jordan even offered a hero point.
To go
he
crazy.
Held up a hero point.
To go crazy.
To do something in that situation, but you're like, you didn't take it. I liked it.
Can't do it.
I just really wanted to see it. I wanted to see what Farthings would act like.
I think part of my goal, my modus operandi for being the GM of this particular campaign is to be the devil on the shoulder. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's like pushing a character to have to deal with, you know, the cannibal telepath, or, you know, trying to get a character to hurt another team member, I'm willing to go there. You know, because I think it adds for an interesting story and it adds for interesting drama.
Yep. There was a point where you were holding up a hero point to me and I didn't know why.
Your complication.
To kill people.
Oh, so...
To kill the
So did I not get the hero point because I didn't go against my personal code?
Mm-hmm. It's like...
I'm confused.
Well, I mean, it was more of like...
Don't you get the hero point for choosing your personal code?
I'm having a hard time remembering at this point because my brain is just fried.
yeah, that's an issue this week. Johnny and I are both sick.
Yeah.
At one point, he fell asleep.
I wasn't asleep. Jordan was describing the map.
You were asleep. That's what
I was looking at.
He was visualizing with his eyes closed.
And his mouth.
Your mouth was wide open. Oh. And there was noise coming from your throat.
Yeah, you were snoring softly. You were asleep.
It was kind of cute. But, you know, it was one of those things where I was trying to put you in a hard situation. And I was thinking of it not so much as, you know... a hero point for following your code, but a hero point for allowing me to complicate your code. You know, and that's one of the things that it's something that I've been reading a lot about in Fate is, you know, you get a hero point or what they call a fate point
when
you're compelled mm-hmm. to do something that you wouldn't necessarily want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Fate is a system that I really like a lot, and if we were doing anything, I keep on saying this about Apocalypse World, about Fate, there's so many systems out there that I really enjoy.
Well, and as I'm reading through it, I'm noticing a lot of things that I'm like, did Jordan pick this up from Fate? Or like, did it, you know, like the compelling and the aspects and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah, that's where I got a lot of it from when we started the game, was that I was reading Fate at that time, and I was actually playing in a Fate campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I actually GM a Fate campaign on Monday mornings before work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of been, it's been hard-baked into how I look at GMing now to a certain extent and how I drive story forward, and so...
I like it. I mean, just in that situation, though, I feel like Miranda was still trying to... like, write it out and see if there was some way she could reason with them. So
let's go ahead and talk about character points.
Yeah.
Yes. All of you get 4 points from me.
Awesome.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about... let's go ahead and talk about snacks first, because that should be easiest to get it out of the way.
I don't know. This one was tough. Good stuff. Like Johnny's garlic cheesy bread.
Oh, that was
amazing.
Good. Yes.
The blueberry pie.
Oh, that was really good.
Was really good. The cupcakes were really good.
These were good.
Tried the chocolate covered bacon.
It was alright.
It was okay, but I still think the chocolate was a little too sweet, so
I actually had two of Jeff's snickerdoodle cookies. Like those were just really stinking good.
I had one of those too, yeah, that was really good.
It was, oh yeah, it was like soft and buttery. Mm. I
mean. My vote for best snack would be Stephanie for the blueberry pie. And the main reason, I mean, first of all, it was good, but the main reason for me is that I have a fundamental issue with pie crusts. A lot of pie crusts are not good, and she has an excellent pie crust.
She does.
And that's a huge bonus to me, so I gotta go with that's Stephanie. That's hilarious,
because I totally had a snafu on that. I started to make it.
It was good.
But it tastes the same as your regular crust.
I had to use half whole wheat flour, because I was like, crap, I ran out of regular flour. Oops.
It tastes the same as your regular crust.
Well, it was a pain in the butt to work with. I'm glad you liked it.
The big issue is a lot of people don't have any flavor in the crust. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot, like, there's a nice buttery sweet flavor to that crust. And I really appreciate that, so that's my vote.
Good deal.
Got to.
Thanks.
Anybody else?
Gosh. Well, in order to not vote for myself, I'm voting for the pie.
Voting for the snickerdoodles, because they were really good.
I'm going to have to vote for that garlicky cheese bread. Because that was so good.
It was good. And there was a lot of garlic on it,
too. It was. And it wasn't just, like, you know, garlic powder, but it was actually minced garlic.
No, it was fresh roasted
garlic. Cloves.
Cloves?
Fresh roasted cloves of garlic.
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
A beautiful thing.
It was delicious.
It went really quick.
The snickerdoodles. Mm.
So we have two for pie, one for snickerdoodles, one for
garlic
bread, and then Jeremy is sitting over there looking so torn.
I think all three of the things that I'm looking at over there were excellent. The garlic bread, the pie, and the cupcakes were really good.
I enjoyed the
cupcakes. Cupcakes were good, but I couldn't have more than one. Although there was some good frosting. Where did you get those from?
Flavors in Bel Air. Mm. Okay. Do some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with pie.
Pie wins.
Pie.
It was good. Very good.
Thanks. I'm glad you guys liked it. I made it for my friend Sean's birthday, and then
on a
whim was like, "Well, I'm already making pie. I may as well make two."
Sounds good.
Sounds good. So let's go ahead and talk about who furthered their goal, the best role playing.
Which furthered the goal or best role playing?
Because
there's two different.
Yeah, there's
furthered two. Their character or the best.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about best role playing.
Best role playing.
Because furthering the goal is going to be kind of tough to talk about.
Best role playing, I am nominating Johnny
for his
role with Edric Farthing. It was good.
I that's where I was going to go as well, because he not only did something important with, you know, coming up with all his stuff for the net and all that jazz, but he also played his character really well, as in being distracted, you know, having a hard time talking when he was obviously kind of frazzled about standing up to Dran.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just think definitely Edric.
Edric?
Yeah. I think Edric Farthing's also furthered his character's
agenda
the most too. I mean, he's getting stuff done. I mean, he's not reaching his goal quickly of showing everyone up out in space that he's worth keeping around, but
I don't know. I mean, he showed some pretty indispensable stuff.
Right, to and the party. Yeah. More importantly, Dran, who is currently in charge, is treating him with a lot more respect than almost anybody else.
Well, definitely anybody else, because when he took off, he only radioed Edric and said, "I'm taking off. Don't tell anyone. If I don't come back, you're in charge."
Right. So I feel like Edric is most advancing his character. I can't say the role-playing thing, though, and here's why. Because I zoned out when he was doing his big thing with
what?
I zoned. I'm sorry.
Is that
I'm
a marriage
so
thing?
Tired. No, I've been sick all week, so I just, like, I zoned out.
So know, are you just going to abstain from voting on
that? No, or? I didn't miss Jeremy's. When he was interacting with Burntail, when he was interacting with when he was interacting with Aurora, I thought that was good role playing. Especially the way he just kept on trying to kind of pussyfoot around the
pussyfoot,
like the marriage issues.
Jaguars.
That's a knee slapper there.
Okay, that was on accident. But no, like the way he kept on trying to, you know, just kind of hedge around those issues and not deal with them directly, and how the bad divorce just kept coming up for him and just kept being a complication. I thought that went really well. So
yeah.
I'm sorry.
She missed your role play now.
I did. I was zoning out. I was so tired. I woke up with a migraine this morning, so I'm doing better than I was this morning.
I did that too.
Well, when Johnny's doing his character, all you need to know is science.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to say that for advancement of character,
we're doing.
Well, no, advancement of character and. But
we're kind of talking about both at the same time.
Right. Yeah, for advancement of character, I'd have to say either Edric or Miranda.
Yeah.
Because Miranda having to deal with the bees.
I could say that would be some of the best role playing of the day.
That as well. I would have to go with Miranda for best role playing.
It definitely felt like her stuff was the tensest.
I was gonna wait till after.
Me too.
To as far as your role playing with the bees, I know. There have been different other times where your role playing, you were much more
intense
and emotionally, your character involved. In this one, you were sort of just.
Well,
you were trying to distance yourself from the character's position.
Well, the way I saw it is, like, that's her fear response.
Yeah.
Which, it could be. I don't know. But we've never seen that, so.
Yeah, we've never seen her afraid before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my thought for Miranda when dealing with the bee situation is I can't help anybody else if I get injured. Like, that would have been her thought. So, she's used to, like, being in the ER, being in the high-stress situations, keeping everybody else calm and taking a handle on the situation. So, that was her response was, I'm going to keep myself calm, and I'm going to keep others around me calm. Because that's, you know, that freaking out is going to be the first thing that ruins everything. So that was my thought for her.
What's different about your role playing this time is in every other situation, I guess the word to describe how you've taken the direction you've taken for that character is being very demanding as far as this needs to happen, this needs to happen, or this does not need to happen. Whereas
well,
this
I
time,
did
you're
have
just
her
kind of
staring
like,
down McKinley when he was like demon possessed, like trying to send a bug up my nose.
Yeah, this is the first time we've had to interact with somebody that was not human.
Yeah, so
I mean, she was making demands, and she was telling him,
take me to
needed.
The supplies.
Take me to the supplies. I want to go and get my med kit. Like, your people, you know, I can't treat them unless you give me some sort of, you know, and she was getting slapped down, and a lot of that, like, a lot of her backing off real quick was mainly, I can't help anybody else if I get killed. So, I was trying to bring in, like, her Hippocratic Oath and everything, that whole, you know, she's trying to help heal other people. And at this point, those other people around her are her priority, which means that she can't be the reactive person that she tends to be when it's just her.
Since we're discussing both for advancement of character, I would have to say that is Will's Masters. Just because we talked about it briefly, he went from being the red shirt, somebody who was just, it's one of the grunts, especially in, like I said, Captain James' eyes, is now, he's someone to go to because he's a resource for
he has
something
knowledge
we have
nobody else has.
We haven't been able to tap into before. So I think
big
for
time.
The advancement of character, my vote is definitely for Will's Masters.
Yeah, definitely.
This is where he's turned the corner.
This has been something I've had planned for Willis ever since the beginning of the show. Because I'm like, well, here's a nice, quiet guy who likes to do things.
Who likes to dig latrines.
Yeah.
And chase butterflies.
I mean, he doesn't
have cat tea.
He's a character who is very much what I see in a lot of enlisted people that I deal with. And they're people who are willing to serve and willing to follow orders and everything. But there are also people who need that kind of command structure and everything like that. And honestly, that kind of character is great in real life. We need those types of people. but it's a little boring.
Well, it's hard to make a hero. It's hard to make
yeah, it is
a
kind of boring playing a character like that.
So
I was having a hard time keeping in character because it's such a boring character.
Yeah.
In this type of situations.
Don't worry, you're not going to be boring anymore.
No, not at all.
So
that sweet beard.
No, yeah. Right? So I wanted to challenge. I wanted to challenge all of the characters, and but one of my highest priorities was to challenge Willis Masters to force him into a situation that would take him different places and make him find himself as a character more than, you know, digging latrines ever would. You know, so it was something that I had to really think and plan and put together from the very beginning. And I always knew that, one, he was going to get the French flu, and two, he would have some kind of extrasensory powers because of that.
I got turned into a tree. Can I go home?
Class dismissed.
Yeah, you didn't know I was going to be a tree until I was swallowed by the gullet of the
tree
thing.
Oh, the Yabateo plant?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it until about 5 or 6 weeks after that.
Really?
Yeah. Honestly. I always thought that you would have to have some kind of blood transfusion with Burnt Tail. There was going to be some... I knew they were going to drag you off. And I knew Burnt Tail is a character I've planned from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Burnt Tail.
I like her.
And Captain James may start to really like her.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That would be so weird.
I don't think so.
Get some little kitten love.
I don't know. From the way you describe it, I think, at least to me, Burnt Tail seems sort of like the, like, adolescent.
Like, she's a young adult.
Okay.
I mean,
a 20-something.
But the thing is, I mean, in terms of culture, in a Western society where you're exposed to a lot of media and a lot of knowledge, your brain develops a lot faster, you know? So the idea that somebody would be who was from a hunter-gatherer situation, not having, you know, the same kind of influences that a 20-something from a different society would have, they wouldn't be able to make the same kind of personal and emotional connections, like on a mental level. There's a developmental issue here, in my opinion. Like, it used to be that when you were living in agricultural America, you would only read about as much information as would fit into one Wall Street Journal. Now, people read that much information on a regular daily basis. Yeah. How is that evolving the human brain?
Right.
You know, so we've had people who have essentially devolved to a hunter-gatherer situation and then thrown in animalistic tendencies on top of that. They're not going to have the same kind of cultural influences, and they're not going to have the same kind of mental processes as a 20-something-year-old from the same organizations or same background that we have.
So I just view Burn Tail as more like meow,
yeah,
and then just a little bit of meow at the same time. So. I'm speaking her language. I mean, come on.
You didn't understand meow versus meow,
which is literally probably the noises she's making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Burn Tail because she's a little bit aloof. Like, you really can't tell what her conclusions are that she's drawing from you people. You just know that
that's
she's watching you.
I thought she was, like, a younger one of the Jaguars.
I just know she's being well-paid because he's a translator.
So we were talking about role-playing and advancing goals.
I say advancement Willis Masters.
Advancement Willis.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Willie!
And I mean, maybe next time if he manages to make that net and everything, I might throw in with Professor Farthings. But so far, for advancement made today, in the episodes that we recorded today, Willis Masters.
Definitely. It's my vote.
Okay.
Yep.
Alright. Mine's still for farthings, but... I'm outnumbered.
Alright, so in terms of advancement, that's taken care of. Role-playing.
I'll still stick with Edric for my vote.
I would say Edric. Johnny.
Say Captain James.
I say Miranda.
Two for Edric, one for Captain James, one for Miranda.
I'm still going to go with Edric as well.
Alright.
Okay, so I have to break a tie.
No,
Edric got three.
Okay, three for Edric. Okay.
If he had picked anybody else, then it would have been a tie.
Yeah. Okay, so now NPC role-playing.
Johnny.
What NPC role-playing was there?
Let's see. Let's recap. First Master.
I did First Master.
First Sergeant.
First Sergeant. I did Stan and Kipper Chain.
Yeah, I liked Kipper's, like, hold on.
That was entertaining.
That was entertaining.
I didn't do it.
I don't think you did any today.
No, I didn't.
Who did you do?
I did Dan.
Jindal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I wish we could give it to Jordan, because his... stuff is crazy good.
I know.
What? Can we give it to Jordan? Jordan can give away character point to whoever he wants.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
I mean,
that would be my
on the comment. Me. They're not in space.
I know.
Alone.
Yeah, that was.
That won the night.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I vote Jordan.
Jordan.
Awesome.
NPCs for the win.
NPC for the win.
Now you gotta give away points.
Now I gotta be all random and arbitrary. I think I'm gonna give it to Dran.
Yeah.
Can we take that back?
The closest. The closest to
well,
horror.
Wait. No, I think it was Kipper.
Oh my goodness. So let's talk GMing for a little bit because I think this has been another GM-heavy episode. This is one that I felt like I directed a lot.
Yeah,
certainly. So, do you guys have anything that you want to talk about? Things I could do to improve my GMing? Things that I can... I need to do more of to make the story more interesting?
Not this go-around.
Yeah, this time was pretty spot on.
Yeah, like we already talked about the transitions between different things was good. Like, I didn't even realize until the end that there was three different scenes going on.
Yeah.
It made the duration of the role-playing seem a lot shorter, too.
Yeah,
I think agree. The one thing that you messed up on GMing was is at the very beginning of the night when you went to Masters and said, what are the trees saying to you? You know, just on the spot right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I want to try and get you guys into is the idea that you have some player control.
Oh, I understand. It was just,
control.
He wasn't in character yet.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't in character yet either.
Yeah.
It was me trying to sneak in the back way to get my ideas start flowing and everything like that. So.
I have a thought on Aurora James, and this is just mainly from playing her and then, like, differences I noticed from playing her from how you're playing her. You're very snarky with her, which I love.
I'm a pretty snarky
person.
Except
for the fact that, at least insofar as you led me to believe when I was playing her, everybody around her has died. And that takes a huge toll on a person, especially when they might feel responsible for the fact that everybody around them died. And... it's something that I think partially it's just you hadn't decided that everybody else had died in that party.
No, I had decided.
You had? Okay. But, like, it just... I feel like that isn't impacting who she is and how she's interacting with, like, Captain James and everything.
Well, it's...
quite to the point where I feel like it would as a person.
I picked up on that a little bit, but I mean, the snarkiness has been there, but I think you have played, even when you play, there's a little snarkiness there.
Oh, yeah, no, I love the snarky. I'm just saying, like, you know, It's also, I think...
A little more somber.
Yeah, a little more somber.
Well, I mean, which is, I don't know, I tried to do that with the way Orion interacted with her. Sort of, because since he's so focused on the mission and trying to get everything else out of the way, is to, when he found out that the whole team was dead, to just put it into perspective. That whole, it was a rub it in her face kind of jab, but it was sort of, that's the reality of the situation. And you're being snarky about it.
Right. Kind of thing. It's mean, she's also kind of done that with you. Like, this is the reality of the situation. Welcome to hell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, this is not the weirdest thing I've seen all day. You know, like, I don't know. I just, like, that was just a feeling I got about Aurora. That...
Well, I don't know.
From that perspective of, like, especially being a woman, I know I'm the token girl in the group, but, like, you know, emotionally, that would take a huge toll.
Good questions.
On anybody.
Good questions. So.
But at the same time, we still don't know every detail of what actually happened with Aurora.
Right.
On the landing mission,
can
which
I
think is going
to
come...
Can I ask a question? The coughing? Was that just because you had to cough, or because that's something to do with her character that we'll find out about?
I'm not going
to
answer that question.
I'm pretty sure it's had something to do with her character. We're going to find out later. Because
she's a cat.
I'm not making any comments.
Look, this is why I'm getting. Ambassadors have to become part of whatever they're ambassador to.
Dude, oh my gosh. I'm just remembering.
Because the B ambassador is part B now.
Mm-hmm.
The tree ambassador is part tree.
So many jabs at Aurora.
So if she's the cat ambassador, she has to be part cat.
Well, you might be able to find out for sure if you try to observe her while she goes to the bathroom. If she just finds a lump of sand and goes to the bathroom there,
and then falls back over it.
It's like wiping her foot. Yep.
Oh man, tugging her tail like
that's good questions. Good questions.
Falls on the ground.
I can't answer every question, or then the story would be ruined.
True.
Fair enough. That was a very intense episode.
What do you think of the chasm?
The cavern?
Oh, the cavern, yeah. I keep on going at the chasm.
It was appropriately somber. I don't know if you guys have heard... Have you guys read the book, The Descent? Not seen the movie, because the movie had nothing to do with the book.
Oh, no.
But you've read the book.
Yes.
And
no,
Jeff?
No, I did not.
No, okay. But Johnny and I have read this book, and it's,
Who's the author?
I don't remember. Without giving away too many spoilers, it's basically kind of a subterranean race that is not quite as evolved as humans, but likes to kidnap them.
Cool.
And take them down into the depths.
So it's kind of like H.G. Wells' Time Machine.
I don't know.
Sort of, but no.
It's a lot more horror aspect. Yeah. And it used to keep me up at night because of the scenes that, like... I mean, there was one scene where this guy, like, fell into this sinkhole. And, like, there was, you know, just the sinkhole. And they couldn't come near the light because they're very light sensitive. So he was just trapped in this little circle of light that was waning as the daylight went. And just, they kept getting closer and closer, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then, yeah, I'll let you read it, because it's a good book.
It is a good book.
But it was, it felt a lot like that, like, caves and caverns, I love them, but they're prime horror settings,
oh, yeah.
I love it.
I love, when I'm GMing, I love throwing things in caves.
In tombs.
It would be interesting if the cave ended up being some sort of access point to, like, an ancient underground subway. Then we've got Planet of the Apes. Two,
yeah. I have the whole franchise on DVD. I've been thinking about showing those to my siblings who are, like, 9 and 11. They're right. They're the right age for
perfect.
That. So. But, yeah, the cave was honestly... I knew that they were going somewhere, but I just threw that in. You know, so a lot of, you know, my personal analysis on my GMing is that I'm really good at description. I feel like description is one of my strong suits.
Oh my gosh, the eyes.
Oh. things I feel like I need to work on are like keeping track of details and, you know, making sure that the story thread is strong all the way through. I think today helped with that, but it was still something that could use some more work. So, because I felt like we were almost rushing at the beginning because I'm like hitting all of these points and then I had to really slow it down. That's why it took so long for like the, for the gun to be put together. Mm-hmm. That's why it took so long for you to get the radio fixed and you couldn't get the one from the tree was because I was trying to slow down the pacing and try and even it out some.
I mean, which it kind of worked. I mean, it wasn't like, well, that wouldn't take that long. It wasn't Johnny's Laws of Physics, but
yes,
it was more a little bit realistic. Like, Orion doesn't have any skill in repairing anything electronic, mm-hmm. so it would have taken him all night to fix it,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, and I like that we covered so much time today, like in the episodes that we did today, because I feel like that's something we're getting caught up in, is there's so much intensity all the time. The time's not passing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, a day and a half today.
So we covered as much time impressive. Today as we have in like all of the other episodes we've recorded. So
we've been here almost a half a week now.
I know.
the thing is
we're officially on day four.
Yeah.
The thing is I don't keep track of time. I just let things happen.
Right. It's one of those things that you look back at it and then you're like, wait a minute, like the relationships between the characters and their mental state has evolved so much in like 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I mean, it makes sense with a lot of the stuff that we've been putting our characters through, but it's still only been 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and, but to the rest of us, like in real time, it's been.
We started playing
years.
Yeah,
we like started playing the game in January.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been 9 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
as of recording, hello future people.
Hello November people.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so it's just, you know, it's one of those things that like it tends to bother me because I'm like, wait a minute, I don't think, like. My character, if my character was anything like me, they would want to stop and process this stuff, and then they would be like, wait a minute, this has only been like 4 days.
I think that's been one of the strengths of the story, though, is that things are just boom, boom,
yeah,
boom,
there's no
boom,
time to
boom. Process. There's no time for you to process. So now that you're, you know, honestly, here in the chasm might be Miranda's Cavern. First... Sorry. This might be her first time to really process what's going on.
Right. I don't know. I felt like that was her first time to, like, actually get some roleplay in, because she has been so reactive to everything. This is her first time being shown kind of as a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, responsible for other people and having to take care of other people. Because it's been very much focused on, like, her taking care of herself or her own image in front of other people, so.
Any other thoughts?
Well, in regards to, like, the self-evolution of the characters, like, I think that... As for Farthing's, like, the high intensity of the situations is helping to evolve him into the person he always wanted to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be seen as the capable scientist who was, you know, on top of everything.
Yeah, the guy who deserves to be in charge.
Yeah. And definitely, you know, not only did you show a lot of technical acumen today, but you, like, kind of stuck it to the man.
Yeah, it's because, like, you know, it started off with him panicking when the pterodactyl attacked the shuttle.
Yeah, your cowardice didn't show up.
You know, and it's, like, he's still a coward, but it's because everything just is nonstop. He's having to learn to, push past that and develop into a braver person, which is going towards his goals.
I think it's interesting, too, for Professor Farthing, the whole cowardice thing. On the shuttle that happened when in the crash, it's the difference with that and everything else. Now that we're on the planet and there are other things going on, you have something else to focus on.
Yeah.
Whereas on the shuttle, there was nothing else for you to focus on, so you were just off the wall.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like
literally
when the tent caught on fire, he went into a little bit of a panic mode. which spread the fire a little bit, you know, didn't help the situation, but it wasn't the same type of panic.
Mm. Well, and I think it also helps for Farthings that he has at least the perceived faith of one of those leaders.
Yeah.
In him. Like, that's helping him believe in himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and, like, just that fact that, like, pretty much everybody is treating him with respect already. So he's rising to that occasion.
Yeah.
And kind of taking a little bit of their respect toward him and embracing that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I think we're going to call that an episode. This has been a really great session. I feel like we're all...
drained.
Yeah, we're all drained. Just... emotionally, physically. I don't know where this is going next, and well, that's not true. I have a bit of an idea. I think it's going to involve pterodactyls and plasma rifles.
And so. Bees.
Oh, those bees.
And bees.
Bees.
Oh. I will kill those bees.
is that your new complication? Kill the bees?
Yes.
All right.
They killed my companion.
The bees must die. And with that, thank you very much for listening to Bone Throwers Theater.
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. The cast is Carlin, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, Jordan, and Stephanie. This podcast is released under our Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Please feel free to share the podcast, but please do not modify it or attempt to gain financially from it. To find this show online, visit our site, BoneThrowersTheater.com. Our Twitter feed is @BoneThrowersTheater, and our email address is BoneThrowersTheater@gmail.com. Join our social networks on Facebook and Google+. Podcast art was designed by Laura Tress and is used with her permission. Until next time, may the bones fall in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.